Today's shiur is being dedicated for a schus for shalom and bracha to have refuah shleima. Today's shiur is mesecht on the darim daf yud aleph on daf yud amabez at the bottom of the mishnah at the mishnah haimer. Says the mishnah, somebody says lachulim, which seems to mean that what I'm saying should be aser, should not be lachulim, but it should rather be like a carbon. And what's going to be part of our discussion in our shiurim is that the halacha is that one of the ways to make a nether, according to some, the preferable way of making a nether, is through atfasa. Saying something is usur, and as we're going to be learning extensively in our shiurim, it only can be considered usur if it's usur because of a nether, if it's also because it's a man-made iser, not because us, not that it's us, because the Torah says it's also. So, for example, if one were to say that a piece that I'm making it, that something should be also to me like a piece of non-kosher meat, that would not be a valid hatfasa, because it's also to you anyway. But here, he said, lachulin, this whatever we're talking about should be to me lachulin, not chulin, but rather it should be like a carbon. Shaychalach, whatever I eat from you should be treated like carbon meat. If somebody makes a declaration, loy kosher, it should not be considered kosher. It should be considered posel. And as the Rosh explains, when we speak about kabonis, by kabonis, there's a concept of kosher and posel, because we can have a kosher carbon and a posel carbon, and that's why saying kosher or loy kosher are words that are relative to kabonis. But the Ran asked the obvious question. When we look at the words loy kosher, we think about the word loy kosher, it's certainly a word that we think about more about something which is inherently non-kosher, because the Torah says it's not kosher. And as we just said a moment ago, if your matvis, and when you do that fasa, your matvis bedover ha'asr, by something which is asr, then the halach is that it's not considered a valid hatfasa. So why, asked the Ran, do we interpret the word like kosher to relate to kabanis, when the simple explanation is that we should explain that it's talking about something which is inherently non-kosher, that and be machmer. So the Ran uses the teretz, which the Gemara uses this concept more than once in our Masechta, stam the darm lahachmer. When we have this kind of a question, how to interpret with machmer? The question that many ask is that this rule is not a rule that we see consistently applied. So the Chasam Sofer explains that the opposite of kosher is not osur. The opposite of kosher is low kosher. And those are words that are related to kabanos. Says the Gemara, if somebody said loy dochi, that what I should eat from you should not be tar, or tahar, he says, and therefore it's a valid nether, because again, loy dochi is tumah tahara, and tumah tahara is something that we think about when we think about kabanos. If he said tumah noisa pigel, which of course are all concepts that are related to kabanos, so that's considered that you are matvis on the carbon, and that's why usur, it would be a valid nether. If you said k'imra, like a sheep, so when we think about sheep, we typically think about kabanis, and since when we think about sheep, we typically think about kabanis, so that's why, again, it will be a valid nether. Kedirim, when we speak about places where animals are kept, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a place where the kvasim, where all the animals that were going to be used for carbon, were kept. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a place where the Yaitzim, the wood that was put on the Mizbeach for fuel, was kept. So dirim is a word that we think about often when we speak about nedar, when we speak about Hegdish. Ka'etzim, when we speak about wood, we also think about wood, and we think about the Mizbeach, as we just said. They used much wood in the putting of Karbonos on the Mizbeach. So very much when we think about Mizbeach, when we think about Eitzim, we think about the Atzei HaMeracha. The Rosh says that we don't necessarily think about the Atzei HaMeracha, but we think about the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. The Loch is that there were two logs of wood that were always kept on the Mizbeach. And again, when we think about wood, that's what we think about. Kishim, when we think about fire, so we think about the Eish of the Mizbeach, that it was there all the time, and is certainly something which is considered Hegdish. Others say we think about, when we think about Ishim, we think about words which are very often associated with Kabbanis. And those are the words Ishi, Reyach, Nichoyach. Rambam explains that we think about Ishim, we think about the Emurim, the parts of the carbon which are burnt on the Mizbeach, which again is Hegdish. The Meiri says when we think about Ishim, we think about the Pasuk of Ishei Hashem. Again, words that are used very often in conjunction with the Mizbeach. If somebody used the word Kimizbeach when he made a neder, or he used the word Heichel, so he's obviously thinking about the Kabbonis that are brought on the Mizbeach, which is in the Heichel, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Yushalmi explains that the reason that we explain Mizbeach and Heichel that way is because if we're going to be thinking about the Mizbeach and the Heichel themselves, that's not a carbon. Tosfos Yontif disagrees. Tosfos Yontif says that what are we looking for here? What we're looking for here is for things that are donated. And the Mizbeach and the Heichel were made out of materials which were donated. Kirushalayim, if somebody says Kirushalayim, here too the Yushalmi explains what we think about when somebody says Kirushalayim, he thinks about the Kabbonis that are brought in Yerushalayim. The Nemukei Yosef explains that what he means to think about the carbon shlomim, which are brought and eaten in, which are eaten in Yerushalayim. The Rosh has a different approach that he wants to think about. He says we may be thinking about the walls of Yerushalayim, but the walls of Yerushalayim were brought from donated material. And since it was brought from donated material, then that's considered a Dover HaNodar, where the Hatfasa would be valid. If somebody made the nether connected to one of the vessels, utensils, that are used for the Mizbeach, so again, that becomes something that is very much considered carbon, a valid Hatfasa. Afshabi Shloihiska carbon, even though in all of these declarations he has never used the word carbon, still, given the explanations what we've been giving in our shir, how every one of these words we found a real connection to Kabbonis, since we found in every one of these words a connection to the Mizbeach, even though Apish Lehiska carbon, Harezen Nedeb carbon. But now the Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haim Yerushalayim, if somebody just says the word Yerushalayim, Le'omer Kolom, it's not a valid neder. Only if you say Ki Yerushalayim, according to the Tanakhama, would it be a valid neder. But if you use the word Yerushalayim itself, Yerushalayim, as we're going to be discussing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim itself doesn't have that inherent Kedusha. And since it doesn't have an inherent Kedusha, well, it's not something that is something which is donated, that's why it's not considered a valid Hatfasa, and therefore Lo Yomer Kolom. Says the Gemara Savrua, so the Bnei Yeshiva assumed, what is it meant when somebody said Lechulin? What he meant to say was Lo Lechulin Lahavi, that this thing that I'm trying to be mattress, this thing that I'm trying to say should be Asur, is what he means to say was, what he means to say with that statement, it should not be Chulin, ella carbon, what it should be considered a carbon. And what we learn from here is that le carbon, la chulin, that when somebody uses those words, you have to be very careful to pronounce the word properly. And when you say those words, you should be intending to make to say lachulin. Where is this most nogeya? And we'll be speaking about this in the most relevant. And that is regarding when we say tefillah. We should be careful not to use a pasach when we should use a shva, and not to use a shva when we should be using a pasach. So it's very interesting that the Rishonim point out, and we've made this point in previous shurim, that typically in Shas, when the Gemara uses the word Savrua, it's a word that the Gemara thinks is the Havamina, but it's not the Maskana. Here, unlike in other places in Shas, the Gemara uses the word Savrua is what they thought, but it's not just what they thought, it's actually what is the Maskana. So, Mani, so ask the Gemara, Mani Masnisen, who was the Tana of our Mishnah? And the Gemara explained itself. Ira Meir, if we're going to suggest that it's following the opinion of Rameya, and when somebody said la chulin, what we mean to say is it should not be chulin, it should be kaidish. But Rameya doesn't agree with that approach, because says the Gemara, I Rameya, lesle mechla lava tishmehein. Rameya does not subscribe to be able to deduct things. And if I say it in a positive, it means to exclude the negative, or vice versa. So how can we suggest, ask the Gemara, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya? Following the opinion of Rameya would require us to say, as we just said, la chulin, it's not chulin, but it's kaidish. And Rameya doesn't agree with that approach. The Rishonim ask a question, that even though Rameya does not agree to the concept of mechlal lava to Shmeya Hain, ask the Rishonim, that the Gemara says that the only place where Rameya doesn't subscribe to that concept is by Dine Mumnus. But Nidorim are Dine Issava Heter, the Chayva Carbon. And if that's the case, why would he not subscribe to the concept of Mechal Lava to Shmeya Hain? So Tosfos answers that any Isser that involves mumnus, that has a financial element to it, is something that Rameya doesn't hold Mechla Lavat Shmehein. So even though Nedarim do come with an Isser, but there's an Isser that has mumnus with it. Tosfos in Masechta Shavuos says that where does Rameya hold that we say Mechla Lavat Shmehein? It has to be an Isser, and it has to be an Isser Chomer. He says, the Gemara Masechta Shavuos says, regarding the Isser of Shesuya Yayim, that a Kohen who drank wine, or Purei Rosh, he didn't take a haircut. That's where Rameya says, Mechla Lava Tashem Mehein. But it's not that he says it by every subject which is considered Isser V'Hetem. The Rosh gives a different teretz. He says, and this is a very fundamental teretz in everything that we approach. He says that as we discuss and as we learn Masechta Nedarim, a fundamental aspect of Hilchos Nedarim is that we look at the clarity of the expression of how it was articulated. And if it wasn't articulated in a clear fashion, then it's not going to be a neder. Says the Rosh, Mechlal lav atashmei heim, Mechlal hein atashmei lav. Clearly, Rameya does not hold that that is a clear way of expressing oneself. And since the fundamental requirement of Nedarim is a clarity of expression, which you don't have here, that's why by Nedarim, even if we'll consider Nedarim Isser, and even if we'll say Rameya by Isser does subscribe to Mechlal Lava Tishmei Hain, by Nedarim he wouldn't. Says the Gemara, how do we know that Rameya doesn't subscribe to this concept? The Tanan, the Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Samach Aleph, says Rameya Oimer Kol Tanai She'enek Tanai Gadol B'nei Ruvein. When somebody makes a condition and it wasn't articulated back and forth, that the if you do, this is the condition, if you do so, so will be, if you're not, if you will not, is not, it's not a Tanai. And the question is, why would he require that? It's obvious because he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Mechlal Hein, at the Shmei Lav, Mechlal Lav, at the Shmei Hein. So who must be the Tan of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, it must be Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees with Rabbi Meir and who does subscribe to Mechlal Lav, at the Shmei Hein. And that's why in our Mishnah, if somebody expressed himself by saying Lachulin, we understand that what he meant to say was Loi Chulin, but it has to be Loi Chulin, but it should be Kodesh. So Rav Chaim Brisker, in explaining this machlokes or Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, explains that the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is a question on how to express oneself. If one everybody agrees, I think Rav Chaim is trying to say, is everybody agrees that when we hear you speak, we can deduct Bechlal Lav at the Shmei Hein. The question here is that the fact that the Torah said, explains Rav Chaim Brisker, that we have to have a Tanai Kofel. What is the Torah telling us with a Tanai Kofel? That expressing yourself with Mechlal Lav at the Shmei Hein, expressing yourself Mechlal Hein at the Shmei Lav, is an inadequate level of expression. And therefore, since it's inadequate, and as we said a few moments ago, the whole fundamental principle of Hilchus Nedarim is the requirement that it should be very clear what you are saying. And Mechlal Hein at the Shmei Hein, Mechlal Hein at the Shmei Lav, according to Meir, is not enough of a clear expression. That's the way Rav Chaim Brisker explains the Machlokes of Meir and Yehuda. The Shlosh Yaakov, very similar, says that the Torah, when it speaks about the Dorim, uses the words Bitis Vosayim. What does the Torah mean when it says Bitis Vosayim? Bitis Vosayim means that you have to articulate the nether. And the Machlokes of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is exactly, is that a way of articulating properly another? But then the Rishonim and Achroinim, Stipler asked this question. If we've been learning in our Masechta that Yodas Nedarim are adequate to make a nether, why should Mechlal Hein at the Shmei Lav and Mechlal Lav at the Shmei Hein not be good enough? So the Stipler answers that once Ramey is telling us that once the Torah taught us by Tanoim that you have to have a Tanai Kofel, the Torah is telling us that Mechlal Lav at the Shmei Hein is a very weak way of expressing yourself. Even though maybe we would think it should be as good or better than Yodas Nedarim, the Torah, by telling us by the Parsha of Tanoim that it doesn't work, what the Torah is telling us is that Mechlal Lav at the Shmei Hein is a weak way of expressing yourself. I also saw that the Nachlas Moshe answers the question that why would a person use the word Lachulin? Why didn't the person say Loichulin? The fact that the person didn't use Loichulin, he only used the word Lachulin, that is an indication, explains the Nachlas Moshe according to Rameya, that he didn't really express himself properly and it wouldn't be a nether. But ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that the Tana of the Reish of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, but I'm a Sefer? We just learned the Mishnah, and the end of the Mishnah it said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haimer Yerushalayim, Loyama Klum. Mid the Sefer. So the Gemara question is, if we see that the Sefer of the Mishnah represents Reb Yehuda's opinion, isn't this clearly indication but the Sefer Reb Yehuda Reisha La Reb Yehudi? Says Mar, no, that's a misunderstanding. Says Mar, Kula, the entire Bryce Mishnah represents the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Vaktani. Reb Yehuda Oimer, Oimer Shlaim, Lama Kulam. No, Reb Yehuda is the Tan of the entire Mishnah. And he's giving all the various examples of what is considered a nether. And then at the end, he says again, Yerushalayim is not a good nether. Ask the Gemara, as we learned in the Mishnah, there's a difference between if you use the word Yerushalayim or you use the word Kirushalayim. So that means if we're saying that our entire Mishnah represents the opinion of Yehuda, that means if somebody said Kirushalayim, it is the opinion of Yehuda that will be a nether. But ask the Gemara, how can we say so? For Tanya, have we not learned in the Braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Haimer Kirushalayim, if somebody, when he expresses a nether, says the words Kirushalayim, Loi Amar Klum, Achiyidr, the only way for it to be a valid nether is if you express B'dover HaKarib Yerushalayim, something which is actually brought in Yerushalayim, a carbon which is actually brought in Yerushalayim, but just mentioning Yerushalayim, whether you use the word Yerushalayim, or even if you use the word Ki Yerushalayim, it wouldn't be a good nether. But the Tanakam of our Mishnah does hold that it's a good nether. Says the Gemara. The Gemara sticks to its opinion. Kulab Yehudihi. The entire Mishnah represents the opinion of Yehuda, and there's a machloikis, Trey Tanoi, leave of Yehuda, there's a machloikis, Tanoim according to Yehuda, if you use the word Ki Yerushalayim, will it be a valid nether? The Tanakama, our Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yehuda, is that it would be considered a valid nether. And Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, that version holds that he does not consider it a valid nether. Why? Because so there are a number of explanations given in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that Yerushalayim did not have the kedusha of a nether. So therefore, whether you said Yerushalayim ku Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's an insufficient nether. Another way of explaining is because if you use the word ki Yerushalayim, then you're speaking about, everybody agrees, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Yerushalayim is not proper way. Yerushalayim is not a proper way of speaking about a Dover HaNodor. The question is, when somebody says Ki Yerushalayim, what does he mean? Does he mean the Kabbonis that are brought in Yerushalayim? Or does he mean Yerushalayim itself, which Yerushalayim itself, as we just said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does not consider a Dover HaNodor? Another way of explaining is that when you speak about Yerushalayim, you're certainly not speaking about Kabbonis. But what are you speaking about when you say Yerushalayim? Are you speaking about the walls of Yerushalayim, which came from donated money? Or are you talking about the homes in Yerushalayim, which don't come from donated money? And that's what the Machlokes is, according to Yehuda, is it considered a valid nether or not? The Bnei Yisoscha, in the Sefer Agra de Kala, when he speaks about Kol Tanai, which we know that all of the halachas of Tanoim are learned from that agreement between Moshe Rabbein, the way Moshe Rabbein and Bnei Reuven agreed to the that if they go into Eretz Yisrael first and go to the battle on behalf of their brothers, then the halacha will be, then they will get their share on the Eiver HaYarden. So why do we learn from there? So explain to Bnei Yisoscha. Moshe Rabbeinu had not given them their share yet in the Eiver HaYarden. As Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you won't get your share in the Eiver HaYarden until you do what you're supposed to do and go out to war. If that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to say it to Naikofel. He just should have said whatever the terms of the conditions are, and then let's see if they do what they're supposed to do or not do what they were supposed to do. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then they won't get their share in Eiver HaYarden. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to give the whole Tanai Kofel? Explains the Bnei Yisoscher, this is the proof that the of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven was in order to teach them Hilchos Tanoim. Because if it was just to make it clear, that it wouldn't be necessary. This is the reason it was said, to make it clear and it's necessary. Tanya, so says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us. If somebody says, Chulin hachulin, kichulin, ben shaychalach, ben shaychalach. Whether he says the words eichalach or loy eichalach, the halacha is mutter. The nether is not a good nether. But if somebody says lachulin shaychalach, aser, that's considered a valid nether. Lachulin loy eichalach. But if he said it should not be like chulin, what I won't eat from you, then the halacha is mutter. Then the Gemara will explain that it's not a good nether. Reisha mani, so it says, who's the Reisha that says that if he said chulin, it's not a good nether? Mani, whose opinion is that? So it goes back to what we just have been discussing. It obviously follows the opinion of Ramei, the Lesley, Mechlal Hain, Mechlal Lav Atashimei Hain, and just because he said loy, we don't extrapolate to the upside. Aim a sefer, but ask the Gemara, the sefer of the Brisa says, lachulon lo yoichaloch, mutter, vatanan, but the Mishnah says, lacharbon lo yoichaloch, remeya aser. If somebody says, lacharbon, what I eat, when I use the words lacharbon, it'll be a nether. But ask the Gemara of Akashlon, when we learned that Mishnah, halesle, didn't we just learn over and over that remeya doesn't hold mechalalava to shmei hain? Omer of Abba, Nasak Omer, the carbon yehei, this food should be like a carbon, and therefore, since it's going to be treated like a carbon, lefikach, I may not eat it, because obviously, we're not allowed to eat carbonus. Nasa, kaimel carbon yehei, it should be treated like a carbon, lefikach loy eichelach. Hachinami, so the same case, when somebody says loy chul loy eichelach, hachikamalei. What isn't what he's saying? Loy chul and lahavi, it should not be chulin. Rather, it should be treated like a carbon. And since it should be treated like a carbon, l'fikach l'ayachalach, I may not eat it. So even according to a mayor, it's a valid way of expressing a nether. Because, so then, the Bryce that says that it isn't a good nether, whose opinion does it represent? Answers, the Gemara, hai tana sovel kermei b'chada, or polag le'b'chada. He somewhat agrees with Rameyer, and he somewhat disagrees. He doesn't subscribe to the concept of lavat shmehein, and upalag bechada boifin carbon becarbon. When he said carbon, that the Tan of the Brisa says that it's mutter because he's not saying that it should be carbon, but and that's why he says the same thing by chulin loyachalach. That's why it's going to be mutter. So what the Gemara is saying is that when somebody says the carbon la'echlach is aser, and the brice that says the chulin la'echlach is mutter, it's not a stira, because the Tana agrees like Reb Meir that holds the carbon Reb Meir holds the carbon la'echlach is aser, because he Reb Meir adds the words lefikach, and therefore, by adding the word lefichach, it doesn't become a case of mechlal lav at the shemei hein. According to the Brisa, who doesn't add the word lefichach, if you don't add the word lefichach, the only way that this nether could be interpreted as a real nether is using mechlal lav at the shemei hein. And this Tana doesn't hold mechlal lav at the shemei hein. So the way we're learning now is that everybody agrees that we don't say mechlal lav at the shemei hein. Both Ramea and the Tan of this Brisa. The difference of opinion is, do we add the word lefikach into a statement? Ramea does, the Tan of the Brisa doesn't. Ravashi has a different way. Hada amal lechulin with a shva, adha amal lechulin with a pasach. If somebody said lechulin, he says, that is as if he said expressly, loy lechulin. The mashma, loy lehevi chulin, Ella carbon. What the Gemara is saying is that even though Ramea does not subscribe to the concept of Mechlal Lava to Shmei Hein, but if somebody expressly says it, then there's no question. Says the Gemara, by using the word La Chulin, it's saying expressly Loi Chulin. It should not be Chulin. And what does that mean? Loi Chulin means that it's carbon, and therefore you have to be careful. That's why the Mishnah Brura teaches us in Or Chaim Simen Tuf Kuf Pei Beis Sif Katan Tazayim, when we say on the Seres Yimei Tshuva Zuchenu L'Chaim Melech Chavetz B'Chaim, We have to be very careful, says the Mishnah Berura, to say the word l'chaim with a shva, and not to say the word l'chaim with a pasach. Because what are we davening for when we say zecheinu l'chaim? We're davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us life. So if we say l'chaim, that's where we have to, that's what we're davening for. We're expressing and we're davening to Hashem, He should give us a year of life. But if we say l'chaim, we're actually just saying the opposite. We're saying that He should not give us life. And the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, specifically in these days of the year where it's so, where our tefillahs during the Seder Yemei Tshuva, we have to be so careful with our tefillahs, says the Mishnah Berurah, we have to be very careful to say l'chaim. The Sefer Avnei Shoyam, interestingly, says that we know the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tav Zayin, teaches us that in Rosh Hashanah, Shloish Sfarim Neftachim, the three Sfarim that are open, Tzadikim, Gemurim, Nechtovim, Nechtovim, L'Altal L'chaim. Rishoyim, Gemurim, Nechtovim, Nechtovim, L'Altal L'Misa. And Beinanim, Tluyim, V'Oimdim, Rosh Hashanah, V'Yakippur. And he quotes a Girsa that says, Shloish Sfarim Menukadim. We have the Girsa Shloish Sfarim Neftachim. The Shloish Sfarim are open. He has the Girsa Menukadim. The way they have the Nakudas. What does he mean? The Tzadikim Gemurim, their Sefer, it says, L'chaim, with a Shva. The Rishoyim Gemurim, it says, L'chaim, with the Pasach. And the Beinanim don't have any Nakudas. And based on how we behave, until Yom Kippur, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide what nekudas he should put on that, in those svarim, in our particular svarim, with a shva hopefully, and not with a pasach. And the Masham, in Chelik Bey Simen Kuf Nuntes, says that we know that when a person is facing a challenge, he gives tzedakah for schus for a meyer ba'al neis, and it says elakad meyer anenu. Why do we daven for elakad anenu? Because according to a meyer, the way we pronounce the words, as we're learning in our Gemara, is critical to the way we're going to daven, the way how Kadosh Baruch Hu will hear our tefillah. So it says we're very careful to daven lichayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Shva should give us life. And in the Schus Rameyah, who taught us that we have to be so careful, that we have to be so careful in the way we express ourselves, we should express ourselves in a way that's clear, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear our tefillah and be kabbal our tefillahs.